Okay, so you have your wallet set up, you've got your main and supporting player cards, and you've mastered the basic travel hack lingo. Now what? Today we break down four main ways to maximize your point earning potential and get one step closer to free travel.
Welcome to the Travel More Podcast.
Each episode, we share custom itineraries, travel hacks, expert advice, and even stories of our past travel failures to help you level up your travel game.
I'm Shelly, a lover of plans, itineraries, and cheap flights. I'm an expert deal finder with one eye always on the budget.
And I'm Bruce, the improviser, ready to pick up where plans fail to turn letdowns into unexpected trip favorites. We're here to bust through barriers that stop you from making your travel dreams a reality.
So book that flight, buy the tickets, and say hello to your next adventure.
This is the Travel More Podcast. Welcome back to the Travel More Podcast.
Welcome back.
So Shelly and I just got back from our whirlwind trip. It feels like we were gone for months.
Yeah, I mean, we were gone for like a solid month. But yeah, it does... Feels like we haven't been here at all. But we were also gone 2 weeks before the trip. So we legitimately have gone essentially 6 weeks of our summer break.
I know, I keep joking that we've been hiding from the heat because we went so far north. But hey, we in the beginning of the summer, we went straight to Memphis in Florida where it was like 100 degrees.
To the surface of the sun to begin this off. But yeah, but what was fun about that trip is on the way back, we did some serious travel hacking to allow us to fly for the first time business class from Frankfurt to JFK, and let me tell you, that was worth all of the figuring out of this.
Dude,
just that one flight.
I still can't believe. You know the best part about it was is that when you get to the end of your trip, you're kind of you're kind of sad. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, but and especially when you have to a long flight home, it just kind of puts a damper on it. Mm-hmm. But this was like one of the best experiences of the trip. It was like next level. And honestly, I'll tell you, I thought it would spoil me forever.
Yeah.
But you know, it was about a 7.5 hour flight, and I can see where using points and miles, I'm definitely going to reserve this for flights that are long.
Yeah,
because it was awesome.
Right,
like no luxury
for sure. We'll do our economy flights and get more bang for our buck in the future for like more flight as opposed to like one big one. But it was nice to kind of splurge, especially at the end of a very long and pretty exhausting trip. So we did all of this though in literally a year and a half, maybe just a year, figuring out how to leverage all these things and these different credit cards into this amazing kind of once in a lifetime flight. And so today we're going to talk about exactly that. Like, now we've talked about the lingo, we've talked about which cards we would have, but here's how you like actually earn those points for those bonuses.
Okay, so let's break down kind of the four main ways that you can get those big points and lay down on your flight like Shelly and I just did, having a choice of two real champagnes and like four luxury course meals. So
It was white tablecloth.
It was
China.
White tablecloth. It was.
It was crazy.
It was awesome.
Anyways, the very first thing, and honestly the way that most travel hackers, like the ones that you see on Instagram or whatever, continuously take these business class flights, I'm not going to lie to you, their number one way is called churning cards. So what churning cards is, and I think this was in our travel lingo episode as well, but it's essentially opening up a ton of credit cards. And I know that sounds scary to a lot of people, especially at first.
That's something that definitely turns people away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, because there's this idea that having a lot of credit cards is bad for your credit score or your health or whatever, and it's really not.
No, and I get, though, that that could be a pretty big kind of first step, and I don't know that that's how I would say to start this. You know, you want to make sure that you have kind of a handle on things and that you're not just jumping into the deep end.
Yeah, and you feel comfortable. But that is, so like for the first main way is by opening up new cards and getting the bonuses.
Yeah.
But also when they say churning cards, essentially you're like, you're getting that bonus and you're closing that card out and then you're looking at how long again you can reapply and get the bonus again and you're finding that cycle.
Well, that's how you do it long term, right? Is because obviously you can't. You know, there's only so many cards, so you have to eventually open up the same ones again. But you have to be very careful with that because continuing to cancel cards at the end of like a year or something can get you kind of a bad rep with some of these banks, and you do not want to get a bad rep with, say, Chase Bank and then not be able to earn Chase points because that, I mean, that's the end of your travel hacking career, so to speak. So you have to be pretty careful with this. A good rule of thumb, kind of one that is pretty well established by the travel hacking community, I should say, is to not open a card more than every 3 or 4 months, which I know for a lot of you, you're like, oh my gosh, 3 or 4 months. But some people go way off the deep end and open like 6 in a month. And that will get you definitely some flags. And also, I would think hard about the ones that you want to open, because there's a few rules you have to look out for. One is Chase's 524 rule.
Yeah, I think we mentioned a bit when you're picking your main and supporting cards.
Right.
Some of those economies or ecosystems, rather. Yeah. So like Chase, you gotta, there's rules for each company.
Yeah, so definitely look those up. And don't just open them, we call it shiny card syndrome. So don't just open one because it looks really good right now. Like really think about how it fits into your greater kind of
your wallet,
like, yeah, your wallet, yeah, go back and your ideas of what you're gonna go, where you're gonna go, and like what you're gonna use them for,
right? And that's why this episode comes after. If you haven't listened to the other travel hack episodes during our summer school series, definitely do it, because you want to think about your wallet. And while churning cards like that might sound pretty advanced, the key takeaway for this first point on how to make points is really the bonus. So mm-hmm. if you're gonna open up a card, getting that big bonus in the beginning is a great start.
Yeah, don't miss the bonus. We said that, I think that's like the fifth time we've said that in this series. Do not miss bonuses. So
yeah,
that
it's like everything.
That's the thing. And just to kind of give you a realistic picture of what this looks like for us, I think we just counted them and we've opened up like 9 credit cards between the two of us, 9 credit cards in the last year and a half. So we haven't canceled any though. So nope. We've used them all. They're either a no annual fee or we're consistently getting the value out of the annual fee. So it doesn't always mean that you're continuing to like cancel cards. So just, you know, before you start that, I would do a lot more research, kind of really dig deep into it to make sure that you're not going to mess yourself up, you know, financially. But both of our credit scores have only gone up since we've started this. And they're pretty high to begin with. So like, it's not really messing our credit scores up in any sort of way. So also a thing to mention.
Okay, so our second way to earn points is called maximizing multipliers. Mm-hmm. And this is something you got to pay attention to. Yeah. So when you get these different cards, you go back to building out your wallet. Each one's going to have a rate at which they earn points for certain things. We have plenty of spreadsheets where we've kind of figured this out for ourselves. And for an example, I just opened up an Amex Gold. And it gets 4 times the points on food, like dining and groceries. But in comparison, my Capital One Venture card only gets 2 times the points on all purchases. Mm-hmm. So maximizing your multiplier is really just knowing what card to use for what category of spending so that you're getting the most out of your what you're spending on points.
Right. So if we go out to eat, we're always going to grab the Amex Gold because we're getting 4 times the points as opposed to the 2 times the points on Capital One. But then if we're going to, I don't even know. What's another store name?
Target?
Yeah, maybe, but Target, I think it doesn't count because grocery stores are also. Yeah, it's not a grocery store. So if we go to Target, we're going to be using our Capital One because we get 2 times the points. And we'd only be getting 1 times the points if we use Amex Gold. So it's just about kind of knowing which cards are going to get you kind of which things. And that's another, we talked about this a little bit in like which cards you should have, because we opened the Amex Gold specifically, one, because we wanted to get into the ecosystem of Amex, but also because eating out is a big part of our expenses and also groceries. So we wanted to kind of capitalize on that a little more than we had been. So, you know, knowing what your spending categories are is a good way also to think about what your next card should be.
Keep it in mind when you build your wallet and make sure you're spending the right card on the right purchase.
Yeah, there's also a free app called Card Pointers. They have a paid version, but I use the free one and it's fine. And it kind of keeps track of that for you as well. So if you are a person who's like, I don't want to think about it, you just kind of put all of your cards in there. I don't even think you put your card number. I think you just say what kind of cards you have.
Because it's all the same.
Right. And then it'll tell you like, you know, what to do on each category, which is pretty cool.
Okay, so for our third way to get points, this one comes with a little bit of a warning. It's called
a lot of warning.
Manufactured spending.
Mm-hmm. So we do this a little bit, but you really want to be careful with how far down the rabbit hole you go with this. It's totally acceptable to do some of it and even encouraged. But too much, again, is going to get you flagged by credit card companies, and you do not want that. So what manufacturer spending is, at least how Frequent Miler puts it, which is a big points of mile blog that I love, they say manufacturer spending is the technique of maximizing credit card spend to earn rewards while minimizing the adverse effect on your bank account balance. Essentially, spending money that is either not yours or that you are already going to spend in kind of a roundabout way. So let's kind of break down how we do that.
So an example of how we do this is through buying gift cards. And there's a few ways it works. For one, buying gift cards for things like gas or groceries can be a good way to meet minimum spending requirements on a credit card if you don't have enough regular expenses to cover it. But you gotta be careful with this and make sure you can still pay off the credit card at the end of the month, because as soon as you carry a balance, you know, it's game over.
Yeah. Also, just be cautious about putting too much gift card spend as your minimum spend. Like, you don't want to go out and get a card that has a $3,000 minimum spend and put $3,000 of credit card as your minimum spend. That can also get you flagged.
Right.
And it especially applies to Amex. Amex does not like you to use gift cards for your minimum spend. Chase, we had some pretty good luck doing it. Well, we had great luck. They didn't flag us or anything, but we didn't put a ton.
No, it wasn't the entire minimum.
Right. Like, so we did just buy some. If you need a little bit of extra, it can be a way to get your bonus, but I wouldn't plan on putting like the whole thing or anything like that.
So another safer way to do this is to use cards that have a multiplier at certain locations.
So yeah, like let's say a grocery store. So you buy a gift card from the grocery store for a different store without a multiplier. You know, they have like the grocery store, like racks of gift cards.
Yep.
So for example, if we had an Amex Gold, we've already met our minimum spend. We just have it now. And we get 4 times the points at supermarkets. So if we bought a card for like Amazon at the grocery store, then you'd be getting 4 times the points for Amazon essentially. Because now you're going to use that gift card that you just got 4 times the points on for your Amazon purchase.
I always find that to be crazy because it's like not groceries, but it's coming up as a grocery store purchase.
Well, yeah, because it's still like codes as a grocery store.
Right. And then, you know, you want to do this with thinking that I'm going to buy something on Amazon anyway.
Right.
So the money I would have spent on Amazon out of my bank account is now kind of I'm earning points on it.
Right. That's, you're taking like one extra step to earn a lot more points on that. And that may seem not worth it for maybe a $20 Amazon purchase, but just to give you an example of how we've made this work is we have a Chase Business Inc, which gets 5 times the points at Staples, and we go to Disney a lot, and so they sell Disney gift cards at Staples. So I use the Business Inc to buy the Disney gift cards, and we're talking, you know, thousands of dollars, because Disney is expensive and you can pay everything with it, like your room, your tickets, all your food, whatever. So I buy, you know, $2,000 in Disney gift cards, and I just made 5 times the points on $2,000 spend that I would have made.
We would have spent anyway.
We're already spending it. Yeah, exactly. It's just the extra step to get the gift card in the in-between. And I think the best we could have gotten on Disney is probably Capital One's 2 times the points. So we're getting 3 times extra points.
Exactly. Because it's going 2 to 5.
Is huge. That ends up being a good amount. I mean, what is that, 10,000 points? 10,000 points was almost both of us to fly from Frankfurt to Copenhagen.
Right. So that's
2 free flights.
Yeah, translate that for everybody, right? So it's right. Like, what are you getting out of this? So the money that you're already spending, you're now earning points on, which can translate to a flight for 2 people internationally.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is international, like Copenhagen to Frankfurt. So yeah. So, I mean, it's worth it. It just takes an extra step.
So there's also some things like buying groups and paying your rent on cards like Bilt, which Shai and I haven't tried, but others do swear by them. But I would definitely proceed with caution, especially buying groups. That's not something I think Shelly and I are ever going to go down the path of.
Yeah, some people love it. It's kind of like those people also you see on Instagram everywhere that have like the businesses where they sell things on Amazon or something. It's like a similar kind of vibe to me. Where it's like, this also feels weird and illegal in some ways, but it's not.
Yeah, it's like gray area almost, but it's not illegal.
It's too risky for us.
It just, yeah.
It's too risky for us. But if that's something you're into, you can look it up. There's quite a few resources on that. But that's another way people would say, talk about manufactured spending.
So our last category for earning points is called stacking. Essentially, stacking offers.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's the same as like stocking offers anywhere. If you've ever watched like that TLC show that's like the Couponers.
Oh, yeah.
Extreme Couponers.
Extreme Couponers.
This is essentially extreme
coupon. Do you say coupon or coupon?
I just said it. What did I say?
I don't know. We'll just say it again.
Coupon?
Q.
What do you say?
I don't know. I think I say both. Coupon? No, I don't say coupon. That's weird. Coupon. There's Q. Coupon. Coupons? I think I say coupons.
Now you've got me, like, it's not a real word anymore in my head.
Let us know how you say coupon.
Oh, my gosh.
It's definitely coupon.
Anyways, okay. And now you're saying it, and you're like, I got it. Okay, so it's essentially like extreme couponing. It's like you're just stacking different things that are offered to you. So let's say you signed up for the American Airlines dining program. It's free. It's literally just like you're already in the loyalty program, and you click a button, say sign up, and it gives you American Airline miles for eating out at certain restaurants. If you do that, and then you pay with your Amex Gold, like you're just going out to eat like you normally would, you're using your Amex Gold, so you're getting the 4 times the points. So then you're going to get 4 times Amex points plus American Airline points for eating at that like restaurant that you were already going to eat at.
Right, you're getting like a double bonus, essentially. Yeah.
And so these things add up a little slower, but I would say that like over time, those can be a big deal. So like just to give an example, when we were in Memphis recently, I signed up for the American Airlines thing forever ago and haven't even thought about it. And then we ate out at a restaurant for Father's Day, and then I got like an email being like, congratulations on earning your bonus points for like this loyalty program. I was like, what? And I was like, oh, that restaurant was part of
the group program. Yes.
I didn't even know. Honestly, I'm not even sure how they know I ate there, but it doesn't.
Because the supply, so because if you're charging your card and it's linked through that account, then the merchant has it's associated, right? So it's like, yeah, they know you charge the card.
Yeah. So anyways, I didn't even do anything at all except eat at this restaurant. We didn't choose it because I didn't even know it was part of the program. So it was very cool.
And this is definitely a newer thing that these just stack on each other. Like, yeah, if you do all these little things, they will build. You'll be amazed at how many points you can make.
Some of them get crazy. So you can get like 3 different loyalty program points with like 1 purchase. A big one that people use for this, I think we mentioned before maybe, is Rakuten. So it's like the cashback app. But on there, instead of getting cash back, you can get Amex points, which actually is a reason that we opened the Amex card, right, was so that we could do this as well. But just to give you an example, like, you have to get your first round as cash back for real, and they give like a $30 referral bonus.
We just got the check in the mail.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is I cool. literally bought my dog's food for at store pickup because I didn't want to wait to have it shipped. And we went and got it. We like bought online, went and picked it up, and got like 10 times the points or something because of some sort of, you know.
It was a bonus.
Yeah, thing. Bonus yeah. thing. And so we ended up paying like $30 for the food and got a check in the mail for $35.
It just seems like it doesn't exist. Like, yeah. How does this work?
But so they have some specials. It's very good if you're a big online shopper. We don't shop online too much, but we do buy it online to go pick it up because of the extra points you can get.
Yeah.
Because you're also getting credit card points on whatever credit card you just used.
Yes.
So it's wild. They add up very quickly. So that $35 that we got back, we also got 60 points on Capital One because it's 2 times the points.
Yeah.
So we got 60 points for $0. Actually, -5. Like, they gave us $5 to have
somehow we
dog
earned
food
money.
And 60 points.
And Ben's happy.
Yeah, dog. And Ben is happy.
So, yeah, you know, you don't have to be churning cards, essentially, to gain points quickly.
Yeah.
That's the moral of the story. There's a lot of ways to build up points, but bonuses are huge. Don't forget it.
The bonuses are really the way that you see all these people flying multiple times a year in business class. That's really... I mean, yeah, we've made... I had a lot of points, probably definitely over 500,000 points this year.
Definitely. And a lot of that is opening new cards, but yeah, it's also taking advantage of all these other things.
Yes. It's kind of a full, yeah, there's the more, a lot to do.
The more you do, the more you're going to gain points and you'll be laying down on your next flight to Europe. So,
and when you do that, when you lie down your next flight, please tell us because it's very cool. In the Facebook community, we talk all the time about people's kind of redemptions on their credit cards and things. And there are some people who are making me real jealous about mm-hmm. their like apartments in the skies they're getting with their credit card points. So come over, tell us how you're doing or ask us any questions because we're not the only travel hackers in that group and there's some real good ones. So come ask your questions
come
on our
check
Facebook
it out.
Group.
All right, that's all for today. See you next time.
See ya. Did you know that every time you book a Disney or Universal vacation, you're paying for a service that you may not even be using?
Really?
That's right. Travel agent costs are added to your Disney or Universal vacation, whether you use one or not.
So you're telling me that I'm paying for something even though I'm not getting the help?
You get it. So next time you want to book a theme park vacation, make your money work for you. By booking with Magic Pass Travel, you'll get our expertise and years of experience without paying any extra and while supporting a small business.
Check out our show notes to find our contact information.
Can't wait to help you plan your next adventure.